Good to see you today, you beloved community. Welcome, everybody. Those of you online participating that way, a special welcome to you. And those of you who are visiting, we are so thankful for your presence today. And I am glad to be with you this morning. I was out last week. It was my 18th wedding anniversary, which is wild to me. And thank you. They are still on their way. They left something at home, my wife and daughter, so they'll be here in a little bit. But we got to get out of town for a little bit, and I'm so thankful for that opportunity. And for you, Steve, thanks for preaching last week. I listened to your sermon, and very good. Thank you for doing that. Well, I wanted to share with you a text I got from Cynthia Bird this morning. Most of you remember our friends Cynthia and Robert, who moved up to Buffalo. The Buffalo area just about 2 months or so ago. She sent me this text this morning. It starts by quoting an old hymn I had never heard. When morning gilds the sky, my heart awakening cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. And she goes on, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, according to Kay Pipes, who got it from Psalm 118. Happy New Year. God bless you and your family and the whole church family. Peace and love. So she sends her greetings and her love to you. Well, this is indeed the day that the Lord has made. In our church calendar, we are now in the season of Epiphany, a six-week stint meant to hold our marvel that the creating and everlasting God has indeed drawn near. And we will rejoice and be glad in that. We'll talk more about Epiphany later this morning and in the weeks to come. For now, you see up on the screen, there's some cards there. Fill some of those out, please. The blue ones to let us know that you're here. The yellow ones for some encouragement to folks in the congregation. Those pink ones if you have a prayer need or a celebration that you want to share with our shepherding team. Well, let me please light our Christ candle, which reminds us that Jesus is indeed among us. Now for about 1 minute or so, let's stand, let's greet one another, and then when I call us back, let's remain standing for our call to worship from Isaiah and the songs that follow. Let's greet one another now, please. All right, our call to worship this morning. Our call to worship this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 60, starting in verse 1. Leah's going to take care of these slides. There are three of them. And then let's remain standing for the songs that follow. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away and your daughters shall be carried in their nurse's arms. Then you shall see and be radiant and your heart shall thrill and rejoice. Let's sing together.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, holding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Excuse me. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us, shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine. Fill the land with the Father's glory. Praise Jesus Christ. Our hearts on fire. Glow, river, flow. Let the nations be great and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness, shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this world with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Fill the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing to glory, Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's mercy. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. The nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Okay, at this time we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together, and after that we'll have a time of silent prayer. So will you please read the version of the Lord's Prayer that is displayed before you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have so forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. O God, you have turned our eyes to see the needs in your world. And Father, I pray that those needs have been lifted up in prayer. We entrust them to you. May your heart be moved to act on each of the concerns that were prayed for this morning silently. Father, may your will be done in all things. Father, we pray your kingdom come and that we see your glory in full as soon as possible. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm leading the next song. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem praise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever, Christ the Lord. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. For we'll give him all the glory, Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. Be seated, please.
This morning's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road."
All right, our Roots friends, you can head to the back table if you would like. This is for elementary age, our youngest friends. We're so glad that you're here today. And also thanks, Larry, for leading us in song today, and Glenn for reading our text from Matthew. Well, let's pray together, please. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. For it's through Christ we pray. Amen. Days ago, our Christmas tree stood brightly and comfortably in our living room. We bought a new one back in November, and when we set it up, the artificial branches at the bottom were wider than I had expected. Its size meant that if I wanted to head to the couch, I had to walk around the tree, giving it plenty of space to breathe, so I would not knock down any glass ornaments as I passed by. But alas, two ornaments this year found an early demise in our household, crashing down to the floor to an unfortunate end. May their memory be a blessing to all who knew them. 14 days later, the tree is gone, broken down and boxed up and shoved deep into a dark closet where it and all its Christmas decoration friends will remain for the next 11 months. When we got home this past Friday after a week away, one of the first things Chelsea said was, when she entered the house, "It feels so empty in here." And she's right. Our living room is strangely vacant to me too, still. The wooden letters J, O, and Y are packed away. Cora's Advent calendar, its pockets void of any treats, is no longer thumbtacked to the wall. Chelsea's growing collection of vintage Santas are swaddled again in old newspaper for safekeeping. The stockings we hung with care now lay inside a plastic crate, the lid latched on like the closing of a coffin. So too the glittery star we set on top of the Christmas tree every year, that has vanished as well. I love that star. I've shared with you before that when Chelsea and I were newly married and living on an overly modest budget, we splurged and bought this thing for full price at a Walmart in Abilene, Texas. For the last 8 to 9 years, Cora has been the one to set it up on top, her nimble fingers perfect for securing it with a twist tie. Every Saturday after Thanksgiving, I lift her up on my shoulders and she gets to work, and I am just grateful I can still do my part. When we tried to put the star up, however, right after this picture is taken, the base of it broke off. We were so sad, and not even Gorilla Glue could put it back together again. Therefore, we went starless this year, because how can you replace such a national treasure? I could not bring myself to throw it away, but I'm sure in a few weeks, as January's busyness and February's Super Bowl and March's spring break roll around, I will not give a second thought to the Christmas star now veiled in secrecy inside some box out of sight and out of mind. Meanwhile, I don't think Mary and Joseph will have that problem, not with a two-week-old around. They won't forget the baby anytime soon because, wow, does that baby have a set of lungs? And wow, do their hearts melt as that teeny tiny hand latches around one of their fingers. As brand new, very young, first-time parents trying to figure out how in the world they are going to figure this parenting thing out, that is not lost on them. They don't have the luxury nor the time to forget that a baby was born. Their lack of sleep, the constant feeding schedule, and Mary's recovering body are all pretty good reminders that they are just not responsible for themselves anymore. That, plus the fact that both of them over the past year had angels visit them. "Don't be afraid, Mary," her angel had said, For you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall call him Jesus. I am the Lord's servant, she courageously responded. May it be to me according to your word. Joseph, said his angel, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph did not say anything back, not that we know of, but he did as he was asked to do. The angels had told the couple that all this would come to pass, and it has. They will not forget that. What Mary and Joseph did not know and could not know is that around the exact same time, the angle of the earth in relation to the sun and the position of the planets in outer space were being watched closely by a group of folks in a country hundreds of miles away from the birth of the Christ child, maybe in Babylon, maybe in Persia. Magoi is what Matthew calls them. Magi, or wise men, is what we sometimes call them. But what they are astrologers. They are stargazers. They read the night skies in order to discern what may happen when the sun raises its shining head. I don't blame you if you were not into reading your daily horoscopes in the morning paper. I'm not either. But please know that the Magoi of two millennia ago were not your airy sort who made a living predicting that you would find your soulmate or a job that very afternoon. Nor were the Magoi mass-printing generic fortunes to slip inside little baked cookies. Astrology at the time was considered a sophisticated profession based on the strong belief that heavenly events and earthly events were linked by some kind of universal agreement. What happens above affects what happens below. This is what astronomers try to interpret. Our Magoi friends were not Jewish. They're not Christian. They spotted a strange occurrence in the western sky, a planet, a comet, a star, so strange and unique, in fact, that it was enough to convince them that whatever the heavens and the earth were up to, these men had no choice but to go check it out for themselves. Quick calculations pointed them in the general direction of Jerusalem. With no Greyhound buses following that route anytime soon, they would have to walk it. It was a journey that would take weeks, if not months, contrary to what our contemporary nativity scenes seem to suggest. They would never, ever meet the shepherds who sang with the angels out in the fields. When the astronomers get to Jerusalem, they ask the locals the question that had been buzzing inside them for their entire journey. Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we've come to worship him. The people of Jerusalem are nervous around any foreigner these days, with their city under the thumb of a foreign nation and all. But these mystic travelers asking about the birth of a new king makes them downright fearful. Whispers about a regime change could do a lot more harm than good, and if the Romans found out, you better watch out. They are also afraid of King Herod and his notorious rage. Herod, that Jewish puppet king of Rome, with a manic paranoia of anyone or anything that might threaten his seat of power. He's been known to even slay his own family members to quell any potential plots against him. Herod knows how to purge threats and predictions And in just a few days' time, just to be on the safe side, all male babies 2 years and younger in Bethlehem and all their parents will feel his wrath. Sure enough, when the visitor's question reaches Herod's ears, his obsessive suspicions kick into high gear. Having never been a Bible trivia champion, he checks in with the religious leaders. A new king is supposed to be born. When? Where? How? Bethlehem, they say, citing scripture from Micah. Herod summons the Magoi to come see him, and he puts on a show. A thick smile, a counterfeit interest. So when did that star thing occur? In the last year, perhaps a birth, you say, how about you go and look carefully for that child, and when you find him, come and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. His greasy piousness works, to some degree at least, and off they go to Bethlehem, a small village not 10 miles from Jerusalem. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went to the star that they had seen in the east. An argument could be made that the Magoi, the ones who study the stars, had not seen this star since the time they set out for Jerusalem a long time ago, and that finally, here it is again. If that is the case, then their estimations were not incorrect. Their instinct led them in the right direction to the right place and the right time. In fact, that star now hovers over the location of the child as if a heavenly hand is pointing it there like a spotlight from the theater's rafters, guiding the wise men on their remaining way. When they see the star, they are overjoyed. No, they are overwhelmed by joy, the text says. Jesus is no longer sleeping in a feeding trough in an animal shelter, but is in a house now. He is younger than 2, but older than a few months. The men knock and enter, and what do they find? They find a peasant family with meager means huddled in a borrowed space in a nothing town under imperial rule with what the universe has declared as the messianic king. If they are bewildered by the meek scene before them, their surprise only increases their delight and astonishment. This is the one they have come all this way for. The star has already convinced them of that. Without even fully knowing what all this might mean, they fall to their tired knees and worship God, the God that brought them to this spot, offering whatever gifts they had in their knapsacks. And in the process, the Magoi become the very first Gentiles to proclaim the arrival of this Messiah, foretelling the fullness of the coming kingdom that the child himself will one day announce. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. What then shall we say? 3 things, perhaps. First, even among amateur stargazers like myself, who use apps on their phone to determine if that bright spot in the sky is Mars or Venus, we are told this morning that any seeker of light can find their way to the place where Jesus lay. Everyone is invited to the birth party, even those who have been traveling drastically different paths on their search for a true home. Whether by accident or by genuine pursuit, The seeker is apt to find that the pot at the end of the rainbow is not filled with loads of treasure for their personal enjoyments, but a vulnerable child and a vulnerable God, who thus calls them to lay down their own gold or frankincense or whatever stuff they may have, their very lives even, to lay it before him. For those of us who have stood at the manger side every single year we've been alive, we too have a story to tell about our own pathway to the Christ child, the candlelight in the darkness that has guided our way. May that ingrained repetition increase rather than dull your wonder and love and praise for the God who comes in weakness. This is Christ the King, whom angels laud and shepherds sing. Second, we are given hope by our post-Christmas text that we can sometimes still be surprised by joy in a world that manufactures happiness, and that joy comes with an astonishing recognition that God makes entrances and unexpected dwellings amongst unexpected peoples. Spend some time today reflecting on this question. By what light do you see God? How has Christ appeared to you and to the lives of the persons you love? This is the gift of Epiphany, a revelation, a revealing of the ways the Word becomes flesh and lives among us. And third, please accept right now that you will soon forget about Christmas if you have not already. Time will get away from us, and before you know it, April is here, and then August. You will forget about the birth, you'll forget about the angels, about Mary and Joseph. And that, I think, is okay. This is my prayer for you, for me. At some time during this next year, multiple times perhaps, that you will remember. When you hear a baby cry at Walmart or HEB, remember the Christ child. When it's your birthday and you are given presents to open, remember then to lay down your life before the God who comes near. When we witness baptisms up here, think new birth. When you read of tragedies and heartbreaks and unfairness, and you can be certain that we will read more of them this year, then recall that Herod, too, will always be a part of Christmas. But by grace and grace alone, so is the Emmanuel. And when you take a walk outside, when you go outside and look up and see the stars, even here in Houston, you can see a couple. Remember the star that led a few outsiders to Jesus. Remember then that the beautiful star of Bethlehem will shine on and shine on and shine on. Thanks be to God. And together we can say or we can type, amen. Let's stand as we worship in song together.
You were Lord of the heavens before there was time, and Lord of all lords you will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. Lord of all lords you will be. You are King of creation and King of my life, King of the land and the sea. You were King of the heavens before there was time, and King of all kings you will be. You bow down and we crown you the King. We bow down and we crown you the King. We bow down and we crown you the King. King of all kings you will be. Be seated, please. You will notice in your order of worship that we were supposed to be singing a song called All the Heavens, which I believe would have been new to you. It certainly would have been new to me. But I bring this up only because this is a worship song that evidently is popular now in the contemporary worship realm. And rarely do I find a song in that realm that I like. And it's because I think that the lyrics are generally very shallow and repetitive. But this song really responds to me. I want to read you a line from it. Let your face shine on us, and the world will know you live. That's just a great image to me. Let your face shine on us, and the world will know you live. And there's more to the song. It's still, it's good throughout, but that's the one that really resonates with me. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry, for that. So let that light, the light that is the light of the world, let that light draw us to this table where the bread and the cup await for us. This is the meal that we get to share together every single week, the bread, which is the body of Christ, the blood, which is the cup. We get to share this with great joy with one another today. If you would like to help share the bread and the cup with the congregation at large, you can come forward in just a moment after I pray, and we'll eat and drink together. Let's do that, please. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, you've drawn us to this time and this place once again, and we give you thanks for that. Your blood continues to remind us of Jesus' blood and his sacrifice, and this bread reminds us of his body that teaches us how to live your ways. For both these things, we are grateful. So we receive these today with gratitude. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. Oh. All right, now we have an opportunity to give. We can give. Larry and Glenn will walk around with an offering tray. You can put in a tithe, a contribution, an offering. You can put in some of those cards maybe that you wrote earlier. You can give online, of course. You can bring it to the office. And thanks as always. Let's pray together and then these guys will walk amongst you. We give you thanks, O God, for gifts given. And we pray that with these gifts, your light would shine and your love would be seen very clearly. For it's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, so we have several guests today, and we're so thankful for your presence. We have some family members joining us from elsewhere. We have some friends that are here, Sherry and Stephen. Great to see you both. And Lupe, great to see you too. So glad that Brother Lupe is here today. Thankful for his presence. All right, Thursday, it begins our new season for Thursday Bible class. Andrea, are you leading this one, or is this Judy's? Okay, Judy, do we have a topic yet?
More Sermon on the Mount.
You can never have too much of that. Excellent. That will begin Thursday this week, 10:30 a.m. Is it just Zoom, or is it in person also? In person and Zoom, if you want to join online. King is your connection to that. All right, Wednesday night prayer meeting continues. This is the group that Larry and the prayer team, they gather together in the lobby here Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. You are welcome to join in on that. That will happen right after Reach to Teach, which is our after-school mentoring program on Wednesdays at 4. Up on the screen, you see all the Bible classes that we have throughout the building, and we sure hope that you stick around after we're dismissed here. And Caleb, you can come on up. So you can be a part of one of these smaller groups. There's a new one starting in room 106, and Caleb will tell you a little bit about that.
Good morning. So we're going to be starting a new class series for about 10 or 11 weeks this morning in room 106 called Good News for Parents. And the basic format of this class is we're going to be looking at stories in the Gospels involving parents, and we're going to be looking for the good news for parents in those stories. Now, you don't need to be a parent, though, to come to the class. We invite all in the same way that you don't need to be blind to understand how Jesus brought good news to the blind and recovery of sight to them. But I do want to issue a special invitation to any parents who are looking for good news to come to this class. Thanks.
All right. Well, it's been a good morning together. Thanks again for your presence today. Would you stand, please? Would you receive this benediction as we go forth from here? The bright morning star, our light, has come. And the birth of Jesus has overwhelmed us with joy. Like the Magoi of long ago, may you be drawn to Jesus, and may you offer him your gifts as you are able. Go forth in peace and purpose.